Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 10th perek of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We last left off where Shmuel had held Shaul back on the roof of the building, and he's busy going to telling him what it is his mission. So here he tells it to him. He says to him very clearly, he takes out his pach shemen, his jug of oil, and he anoints him on his head and he kisses him. It's interesting, we're going to see later on, Shmuel does not kiss David when he anoints David. There's a very strong connection between Shmuel HaNavi and Shaul HaMelech. It's going to be a very strong connection, and Shaul's ultimate failure, in a certain sense, is going to be very tragic for Shmuel HaNavi, which we see already in this kiss that he gives him. Then he says the following. He says, you're going to be a king, but here's how it works. You're going to go home, and here's the plan. You're going to pass Kfura Kever Rachel, which is in your own territory in Binyamin, and then you're going to find somebody who's going to tell you that the donkeys were found. Then you're going to move on. You're going to go to Elon Tovar, and then you're going to find in that place there'll be three people going to Beis El to bring sacrifices to Hashem. One will have three goats, one will have three loaves of bread, and one will have three flasks of wine. And they'll ask you how you're doing, and they'll give you two loaves of bread, and you're going to take it from them. And then you're going to go to Give Us Ha'elokim, the hill of Hashem, and you're going to and as you get there, there'll be a group of prophets who are coming out from the bama, from the altar, and they're going to be playing music, and you're going to be sucked into the Nevuah. So Shmuel gives a very detailed and description of what Shaul's next few steps are going to be. And then he tells him, after all this has happened to you, then what you're going to do is you're going to wait for me. You're going to go to Gilgal, and I'm going to meet you there in 7 days' time, and we're going to sacrifice, and I'm going to tell you what the next steps are. As Shaul turns away, the Tanakh testifies Vayafoch lo Elokim lev acher, that his heart was transformed at this moment to a different heart, and everything that Shmuel predicted actually did come. One thing after the next happened, and to the degree that when he finally was sucked into that group of prophets at the end, the third meeting that he was told about having, everybody looked at him and said, that's strange. You know, he says that Shaul himself is a Navi, because they didn't expect him to be a prophet. Just it takes a lifetime of work to become a prophet. And they said a statement which is used afterwards, which is, Hagam Shaul Banaviyim, is Shaul also prophesizing? Apparently, he hadn't spent so much time training as a prophet, so they were surprised to see him prophesizing. Anyway, that's the first step of the parak. So as Shaul gets back home, his uncle comes over to him and says, where were you? So Shaul says, I was looking for the donkeys. And we came to Shmuel HaNavi. So what did Shmuel tell you? So he said, he told me we found the donkeys. And that was the end of the conversation. Shaul is not advertising the fact that he had perhaps one of the most incredible conversations with the Navi, who appointed him to a position of great authority, which everybody would find out shortly, but he wanted to keep it to himself. So in fact, in 7 days' time, Shmuel calls everybody to Mitzpah, which is going to be the meeting point that he uses, and he gets up and gives a fiery speech, and he says, Hashem brought you out of Mitzrayim and saved you from all these nations around you, and you despised God by asking for a king. Well, you know what? Now we're going to actually find the king. So he pulls out a lottery. They're going to use a divine lottery to find who it is, and they're set up in front of Shmuel in their tribes, and each round of the lottery captures a smaller and smaller group of individuals. So first is Shevet Binyamin, and then it is his mishpacha, the mishpacha Samatri, and then it's Kish's family, and then it comes down to Shaul's actual seat, and Shaul's not there. They look around, they say, where's Shaul HaMelech? And it turns out he is in the pantry. Nech ba'el ha-kelim. He is hiding in among the vessels. He's in the closet. He does not want to be made a big show of. So they pull him out, and he can't hide. He's exceptionally tall. And Shmuel says, here is your king. And everybody screams out, Yechi HaMelech. Shmuel says, there's no one like him in Israel. He's a very special person, and everybody's very happy. After this all happens, the parak concludes that everybody went home, And a few people who really were touched by this experience stayed with Shaul to become his cohort, to become his soldiers. And there were a group of people on the other extreme, and they said they were called Bnei Belial, negative people, who were people without yoke, who said, "Ma yoshienu zeh? This guy's going to save us." And they didn't bring him a sacrifice like they should have, a tribute. And Shaul HaMelech does not respond to that rabble. Okay, so there's a lot of things to think about when looking at this perek as a whole. Number one is that entire choreographing that Shmuel has created of who you're going to meet, what's going to happen, how many loaves of bread, what they're going to say to you, is a demonstration of power as well. What's clear is that Shmuel is telling Shaul HaMelech, understand something, and that is that I'm the one who sees how things will be, I know how things will go, and that's why you're going to listen to me. Shmuel is establishing very clearly over here, again, a differential of power, so that when Shaul needs things, he's going to turn to Shmuel HaNavi. Symbolically as well, when he says this seven-day wait, it's also an aspect of power. You're not going to decide or do or lift a finger without me, says Shmuel HaNavi. And this is going to be important for later on when Shaul does not wait for Shmuel HaNavi in a later seven-day period of waiting, which is going to be critical to his leadership. It is also interesting to note, when looking at this perek, that when he's nech ba'al hakelim, it sounds like, you know, he's hiding out, he doesn't want to get there, but Rashi does bring a medrash, medrash at Tanchuma, which says that that's referring to the Urim v'Tumim. Amar Shemov Eino Roya Ligdula Ad Shi Shalub Urim v'Tumim V'Shalub V'Olab Yodan V'Yodan. He actually asked the Urim v'Tumim himself, and it came out and proclaimed him being the actual king. What, again, another demonstration of humility, just from a spiritual perspective as well. We are going to follow through these Bnei Belial as we go further. These are a group of people who do not believe that Shaul should be the chosen one. They obviously wanted a king, and they probably envisioned somebody else or somebody from a different tribe, potentially. Shaul's initial reaction is Macharesh, and this is actually going to be seen at this point in time as a positive thing. At this point in time, Shaul is not in a position of power. He does not have credentials yet. He is not somebody who's earned his right to rule yet. He's been appointed by Hashem. But nonetheless, he keeps quiet. The pasuk in Mishlei says about this is Bozla Re'ehu Chasar Lev, a person who disgraces their friend is considered chasar lev, lacking their heart. But on the other hand, the person who is quiet, kamacharish, is considered an ish tevuna. It's a person of knowledge. This is referring clearly, as Rashi points out, to Shaul, who's considered an ish tevuna. It's a person of great wisdom, not to respond vehemently or viscerally to these individuals. So there's a lot of good that we're seeing over here. He definitely had a display of humility in his first moments. One last thing that the Mefarshim do point out is that once Shmuel already knows who Shaul is, why is he doing this whole lottery business? And the Mefarshim explained that because it was to make it clear this wasn't about Shmuel's agenda. The people asked for a king, you wanted a king, but Shmuel's not going to go and now just say that Hashem told him about a particular person, because what people will say is, Shmuel, you've got a favorite. Things don't change. So what Shmuel does is, for the public aspect of it, for the public display, there is a lottery, which of course ends up with the same person, but it's clearly a display of divine will, as opposed to a prophecy which goes to one individual, which of course it gets to the same person, but nonetheless to give more of a sense of this being a completely divinely inspired decision. In the meantime, we'll see how Shaul does in truth prove himself as we start tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.